This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Then, Ananda, going into a nearby building, stood leaning against the door jamb, weeping. Ananda said, "Here I am, still in training, with work left to do, and the death of my teacher is about to occur. The teacher has had such sympathy for me." The Buddha became aware of Ananda's grieving and asked him to come to his side. And the Buddha said, "Enough, Ananda, enough. Don't grieve. Don't lament. Haven't I already taught you the state of growing free from attachment to all things dear and appealing? What else is there to expect? It's impossible that one could forbid anything born, existent, fabricated, and subject to disintegration from disintegrating. Last night, before we went into silence, Ocean Sensei and I were having one of our probably nerdathons, geeky moments, and we were talking about mudras. And he showed me a new mudra, which I'm going to share with you. Do it with me. So Nehane, this sashin, is about release. The Buddha's release, right? The Buddha's release from his existence. And also, of course, our release from samsara, from suffering. The question that Ross posed last night, I really appreciated, about the Buddha's death. Why we're having this parinirvana ceremony? What's the big deal? Everybody dies, he said. It's been sitting on me, this question. It's true. No big deal. And yet, it's a big deal. I muse, since you asked that question, about how we hold on and how we let go. So as I was preparing for this Nehane Sashin, I was also preparing for and attending my husband's memorial service, my husband of 40 years. So it's been a very poignant time to me. And I think it's remarkable that I ended up with Nehane when we were making the schedule, because Nehane is about life and death. My two sons and their partners were home, and the last 40 years of my life was manifesting in amazing ways in the faces and memories of people who showed up to honor and remember our intertwined lives. So I really feel for Ananda standing in the doorway, weeping. He had like almost 40 years with the Buddha. I find myself standing in the doorway and weeping too. In times of transition, which is all the time, but in times of big transition, what we like to call life and death, it's impossible not to measure time. The reminders of mortality are thankfully everywhere. The ever-shrinking amount of time we have left might seem morbid, but it is the opposite for me. This ever-deepening consciousness that time is finite it actually heightens my sense of the preciousness of our lives. It illuminates my appreciation for each one of you. When I bowed to you in Junda this morning, I said your names and I felt your presence, and I'm so grateful for you practicing. The miracle of being alive and being here together, it's pretty astounding. And when we're willing to give ourselves to paying attention to reality as it really is, life just as it is, we can enjoy it. We can enjoy even our discontent. I want to say, trust me on this, but I don't really believe in you trusting me on this. I think you've had your own experiences, and if not, I ask you and I invite you wholeheartedly to inspect this truth, that there is a deep, fulfilling joy in the midst of your discontent. The fact is Ananda cared deeply for his teacher, the Buddha. We care for each other. So we're going to weep sometimes when we can no longer actually be in the presence, physical presence of the persons that we care for. And it's in our DNA to care like this. We are the only humans on the planet right now, as far as we know. But we've had company. There have been other hominids on this planet. In the 300 years of the existence of Homo sapiens, that would be us, there have been at least 8 other hominid species. My undergraduate degree was in physical anthropology, so I studied a lot of apes and hominids, and they were Homo habilis. You know him, he walked erect. Homo rudolfensis, which used to be called Homo robustus, Australopithecus and robustus, I think, maybe. Homo erectus, that's Homo erectus. Homo habilis had the hands. Homo erectus, Homo antecessor, that's a renamed one or a newly discovered one since I was an undergrad. Homo floresiensis, Homo neanderthalus, which some of you probably have. Homo naledi, and the Denisovans, or Denisovans, who may or may not be turn out to be a distinct species. We don't know. But around 40,000 years ago, Homo sapiens found ourselves all alone. The only remaining member of what was once a pretty vast group of hominids. Scientists think that the reason that we're the ones who are left standing is not because we had bigger brains, or that we were better with tools, or that we were the strongest. None of that. Homo sapiens was not the only hominin evolving bigger brains and sophisticated behaviors. Fossils from China dating from 300,000 to 350,000 years ago, and all the way up to 50,000 years ago, coming closer to us, they were probably Denisovans. They had bigger brains. Neanderthals not only used tools, but they cared for their sick. They had elaborate rituals around death. They had ways of enacting their social connectedness and symbolic expression. So researchers think that the reason that we're still here and all of them are gone is because we were the friendliest. We cared. And how that was expressed is through cooperative communication. We became skilled at collaboration, able to work and play together, even with strangers. It's a big advantage. It's kind of what you're doing right now in this session. We're learning to work and play together with strangers, We watch this every Sunday and we're always astonished. The people come in, they've never been here before, they sit in beginning meditation. By the time they're in the question and answer period, you really saw it this last Sunday, their hearts are opened, there are no strangers in the room. No other, it says on Giroux's calligraphy. We humans are designed to instinctively care for one another. And as this week progresses, you may find that that sense deepens and deepens and deepens. We care. And it turns out our survival depended upon our caring. And it still depends on our caring. Whether it's for people or animals, or plants or rocks or stars or planets or clouds, we care. We care with curiosity and an open heart. We're born to care. We're born to be cared for. As Lucinda Williams likes to say, you were born to be loved and love. So caring is actually our survival. We care so much that Ananda stands weeping in the threshold as his teacher is dying. Our bonds of attachment are important. They're actually essential. And we want to hold on to the ones we love, even when we're asked to let go. We know nothing subject to disintegration can be stopped from disintegrating. Things fall apart. Remember, the Buddha's earliest awareness when he left the palace was this fact: nothing can protect us from old age, disease, and death. It comes with the territory, being alive. I trust this week that you will all take this opportunity to pause, 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 to consider this fact, the great matter, to really look at this truth, and let that looking inform your choices. Enough, Ananda, don't grieve, don't lament. Haven't I already taught you the state of growing free from attachment to all things dear and appealing? What else is there to expect? It's impossible that one could forbid anything born, existent, and fabricated, subject to disintegration, from disintegrating. The story of the Buddha's actual death, he's really gone, I think is a really good example for us. After all, he was the Buddha. He grew old and sick and died. Nothing special happened, although the story gets pretty elaborate, but nothing really happened except he died. No big deal. He died. Kind of sums up everything. If you can allow this truth, that you're disintegrating, and everything you love and hold dear is disintegrating, you cannot help but care tenderly for this, what's happening right here, right now. I'm probably going to get in lots of trouble for saying this over time, but I cannot stop thinking that the Buddha didn't want to see Ananda grieve, that the Buddha was a human being too. And he says, stop it, enough, don't grieve, don't lament. Haven't I taught you how you can choose not to suffer? Because the Buddha didn't want to see his beloved friend suffer. His cousin, too, and his student. He was a human, just like us. We're going to stand in the threshold and weep. That's the truth. When we care, which we cannot help but do, when we are intimate, as we are becoming right now, so close we get to one another, we feel responsibility for other people's well-being. It's a beautiful thing. Don't knock it. Let yourself experience that this week. Care about each other. Sitting the Sesshin is one way you've chosen to take responsibility for your own life, for facing this great matter. When we care, we are concerned so deeply. Koban said this. He was referring to the precepts. It is the bright side of things and the shadowy side of things. The more you care for someone or something, the more you are afraid of them or it. Did you notice this? The more you are concerned deeply about some object and get to know it, the more you feel, this is getting hard for me. Ain't that the truth? How are we to love so many people and to let go? How can Ananda do this? How can we do this? When you sit at this Sesshin, you are, in fact, taking up this responsibility to pay attention, to sustain a constant awareness of our interconnectedness, how we are together. Which means you are agreeing to be concerned and care deeply. As you continue to practice here this week, as you face the rigor of your own commitment to this practice, let's all pay respectful attention to how we actually live our lives, not the ideas we have about it, but how we are actually living our lives, how we are actually interacting with all beings, with all things. It's not only our survival, it's also our liberation. During this Sesshin, you might notice a shift from focusing on your discomfort, on your own well-being or dis-ease as you sit here. Whether this is good for me or bad for me, this shifts over the first few days to a broader view, which includes everyone and everything, which admits this interpenetration, which admits the impermanence of all things. And this is how we care. Enough of my croaking, hang on. Enough, Ananda, don't grieve, don't lament. Haven't I already taught you the state of growing free from attachment to all things dear and appealing? What else is there to expect? It's impossible to forbid anything born, existed, fabricated, and subject to disintegration from disintegrating. I think the Buddha is not only talking about his own death and our upcoming deaths coming to a theater near you. He's also pointing at our attachments to the ones we have to ourselves. The self that's left behind when someone we love dies, when some period of your life is over. When you stand in the threshold and you know everything is changing right now. Who is Ananda as he stands in that threshold? Who is Ananda? Who are you, students of the way, when things shift that dramatically? I picture Ananda asking himself, who's left? What's left? I think it's a good question. What's left? When we set down our ideas about who we are, because everything has changed. Something we can do here at Sesshin, set down our ideas. And we can ask, what's left? What's left? I cannot answer that for you. But standing here in the threshold of my own little life, the island of my refuge, this one, whoever she is, saying goodbye, releasing the last 40 years, all that seems to be left is love. And that's the big deal. Everyone dies. No big deal. Pay attention to how we hold on and how we let go. Pay attention to what's left. Keep going. It's only day one, I know, but be strong. You know why you're here. And thank you for your practice. Ordinarily, we have questions and answers, but I'm shifting them to the afternoon. We can go back to silence now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.